Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Radio Show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM, Descanso, the network for social justice. Leading off our show today, a judge has ruled that the Trump administration's cuts to FEMA for disaster relief are illegal. A Descanso man had a terrifying encounter with a mountain lion that chased him on a Cuyamaca trail. Find out what to do if you encounter a lion locally on our show today. A 5.2 earthquake in Julian last week rattled a region, causing boulders to roll onto roadways and glass breakage at some stores and homes. But the fault line that caused this quake is capable of a much stronger one, and we'll have details. A La Mesa council member held a town hall on a controversial proposed battery storage facility in a residential neighborhood. Find out why neighbors are concerned on our show today. Spring break is a great time to adopt a pet, according to County Animal Services. Plus, we'll have some allergy relief tips for you today from California News Service. Santee is moving forward on plans for a new recreation center with some creative financing. Then on Crime Beat, hear about a fatal shooting in El Cajon. From California News Service, we'll have a report on efforts by pork producers to overturn California's landmark farm animal protection bill. Supervisor Joel Anderson wants his rural residents to receive longer notices of changes to public agendas, and he'll be asking supervisors to take action. Congressman Darrell Issa has filed a lawsuit against California's Secretary of State seeking to halt the counting of ballots received by mail after Election Day. But several interveners, including groups representing veterans and women, as well as Issa's opponent Curtis Morrison, say that not counting so many ballots would disenfranchise many thousands of voters, including military members deployed overseas. On 2025 Talks, hear what President Donald Trump has to say about a mass shooting in Florida. Why the Supreme Court has paused Trump's efforts to overturn birthright citizenship, at least for now, and an executive action on elections that has some voting rights advocates concerned. On Destination East County, hear about fun and festive events coming up in May, including the Coyote Music Festival, Spring Garden and Butterfly Festival, and a Museum Arts and Crafts Fair, all at Cuyamaca College. Food, wine, and beer lovers can savor vintage Alpine, a taste of Ramona, and the Santee Street Fair and Craft Beer Festival. El Cajon's Music on Main Outdoor Concert Series returns, along with the America on Main Street Festival. There are also Mother's Day teas in Julian, tacos and beer in Ramona with a Mother of the Year contest, a Mountain Man Rendezvous in Campo, Paws in the Park in Lemon Grove for animal lovers, and a mariachi concert at Saquon. Today we'll also be re-airing Master Gardener Connie Beck's tips for attracting butterflies and bees to your garden this spring. Learn how students can apply for CalKids scholarships, for which many local students are eligible, to help college be affordable as well as career training. Plus, on Green Scene, hear why a court has blocked the county's transportation plan. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters.
A federal judge has found that the Trump administration violated a court order to unfreeze $3 trillion in FEMA funding to states to help victims recover from natural disasters. On April 4th, U.S. District Judge John J. McConnell Jr. in Rhode Island ordered the Trump administration to immediately comply with the court order and release the funds to the states. The action followed a lawsuit by attorneys general from 23 states, including California. Specifically, the court found that FEMA's current freeze violates the court's preliminary injunction order to restore the funding. California Attorney General Rob Bonta says the court order makes it unequivocally clear the Trump administration's reckless effort to hold up millions in emergency funds is unlawful. He added that his office will be closely monitoring to ensure that the administration follows the court's order and that critical funds are released. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Tidwell.
A trail runner from Descanso had a terrifying encounter with a mountain lion on the Oak Trail in Cuyamaca Rancho State Park. 31-year-old J.J. Goodrich was enjoying an evening run on April 16th, about 2.5 miles off the road, when he suddenly found himself face-to-face with the lion just over an arm's length away. Goodrich told East County Magazine that he took a step back and walked calmly down the trail while looking over his shoulder, then realized the lion was running through the brush, chasing him. Then, he says, it charged me, quickly covering 20 feet. Goodrich yelled and threw rocks, he says, slowly backing up until the lion finally stopped. He adds, I was able to get back around the corner while it watched me. Then I took off really fast. Goodrich is an elite runner who holds the Cuyamaca Peak 50K course record. He's run in this area his entire life. He's seen several mountains in the past, he says, but only from a distance, and those ran away. Goodrich posted a warning to others on his Facebook page, stating that the encounter on the Oak Trail occurred between East Mesa Road and Harvey Moor. He estimates the lion weighed about 140 to 150 pounds. He says he let the local rangers know and was told that they would pass the sighting on to other rangers to make others aware. According to San Diego County Parks and Recreation, nearly half of California is prime mountain lion territory. Today's California mountain lion population estimate ranges from 4,000 to 6,000. Mountain lions, also known as pumas or cougars, normally hunt alone at night and ambush their prey from behind. While it's rare to see a mountain lion, here are some safety tips to follow. Don't hike, run, or mountain bike alone in areas frequented by mountain lions. Go with friends. Avoid trails at night, dawn, or dusk when lions are most active. If you have children, keep them close by and keep dogs on a leash. If you do see a mountain lion, do not approach it. Don't crouch, bend, or run away, which can trigger an attack. Stand facing the lion with arms up to look larger. If confronted, be sure the mountain lion has an escape route. If a lion acts aggressively, such as charging or attacking, throwing rocks can stop an attack. Turning on a cell phone with loud music has been known to startle a lion and help a hiker avoid injury. Some hikers carry bear spray or pepper spray. Legally, however, bear spray is only authorized for use on bears. Report all mountain lion sightings to the nearest ranger station, especially if there's an attack. If you do witness or are a victim of a mountain lion attack, also call 911. Fortunately, mountain lion attacks remain rare, although scary. Since 1986, 25 mountain lion attacks on humans have been documented in California, according to the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, and of those, just 6 were fatal. That data includes 2 attacks in Rancho Cuyamaca State Park, however, of which 1 was fatal back in 1994. J.J. Goodrich, the Descanso Trail Runner, is grateful that he was able to escape injury or worse. He concludes, "That was the closest I ever felt to death. I'm thankful I stayed calm and focused. The lion never looked remotely scared of me." He adds that it seemed, quote, "I was enough of a pain to not attack and eat that way." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Our East County Magazine radio show needs volunteers, and so does our award-winning news website at eastcountymagazine.org. If you would like to help write scripts, learn reporting skills, research topics for our news team, or have an on-air voice to be the media, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617.
A 5.2 earthquake struck at 10:08 a.m. on April 14th, about 4 miles south of Julian, near the San Diego Country Estates in Ramona. The jolt was felt across San Diego County, knocking pictures off walls and bottles off shelves at homes in La Mesa. California Highway Patrol reports that boulders dislodged by the quake blocked State Route 76 near State Route 79 in the Lake Henshaw area shortly after the quake occurred. San Diego Gas and Electric's website reports an unplanned power outage occurred in the Santa Isabel Julian areas. In Julian, Mountain Spirits Liquor posted video showing broken bottles that fell off shelves. Descanso resident Cynthia Burnham posted on Facebook that it was scary. She says, "I had picks and a clock fall off the wall. Plus, I could see the waves of movement in the shaking window glass next to my desk, and it was a loud one. Sounds like a train coming through. It was also 40 seconds long." Several aftershocks have occurred, and stronger ones are possible. The quake occurred along the Elsinore Fault, which is actually capable of a powerful quake up to 7.5 on the Richter scale. Such powerful quakes may occur as frequently as every 250 years. Earthquake experts warn, and the last time it happened was back in the 1700s, so it's wise to be quake ready. When in a quake, avoid anything that could fall off shelves or walls if indoors. Move under a doorframe, or if in an open area, stop, drop, and roll. the governor advises that the California Office of Emergency Services will be conducting a damage assessment.
La Mesa City Council member Laura Lothian has been a vocal opponent of a proposed battery storage facility on El Paso Street in La Mesa ever since it was proposed several years ago. She says, no matter how it's sugarcoated, battery storage facilities are dystopian-looking, loud, detrimental to real estate values, and potentially deadly. Over 100 residents packed into a town hall held by Lothian on April 9th at Brew Coffee Spot, just a block away from the proposed facility. More than 1,100 people in the La Mesa neighborhood bordering the San Carlos area of the city of San Diego have already signed a petition to stop the project. Terry Hoffman, who started the petition, stated, "I don't think it's a good idea to propose a battery site next to my neighbors' backyards," adding, "I've seen places in La Mesa where it could go, large spaces. The planned BESS site is near a shopping center, residential homes, and close to Murray Manor Elementary School." The city council has not yet voted on the proposal, but many local residents voiced concern and anger over the project. Around 20 residents posed questions to Lothian, as well as to Heartland Fire Marshal Kenneth King and Fire Chief Brent Koch, as well as the city's development director, Lynette Santos. Many cited the potential danger of large-scale lithium-ion battery fires, as well as toxic smoke, since the site is within 30 feet of several homes and is also close to businesses. Some residents expressed concern that waste could end up in Lake Murray, a reservoir serving thousands of San Diego City residents with fresh water. The site would also generate noise, and residents are not convinced that mitigation measures would be enough. Jewelry store owner and resident Jonathan Flint expressed concern that the fire department might be spread too thin and response times could be delayed. Flint and others also said they expected their property values to go down and their insurance to go up because of the facility's proximity to their homes. Tara Covington, a retired school nurse, said the children at Murray Manor Elementary School, less than 3 blocks away from the project site, could be in danger from any toxic emissions that the site might emit. She said, "I want to make sure that we have the healthiest environmental areas for our children to grow up in," adding, "The La Mesa Spring Valley schools are not prepared for sheltering in place for a toxic plume." Solana Beach-based EnterSmart Storage has proposed building the 18-megawatt battery energy storage system facility with a capacity of 36 megawatt hours, enough to power more than 10,000 homes for each hour that it provides energy to the grid. East County Magazine reached out to EnterSmart to request comment, but the company did not respond. The city's general plan, climate action plan, and other city policies, including a climate emergency resolution, have strongly supported environmental sustainability, energy efficiency, and greenhouse gas reduction, which this type of battery storage would support. Battery storage facilities are key to expanding renewable energy production, such as wind and solar energy, enabling power to be utilized when the sun doesn't shine and the wind doesn't blow. The plant would store supplemental energy from renewable energy sources, including wind and solar, supplying energy to a power grid during peak hours and through San Diego Gas and Electric substation, which is across the street. But battery storage facilities have also been a catalyst for fires, most notably a fire at a large battery storage site in Otay Mesa in May 2024. Some nearby businesses had to evacuate for 2 weeks after that fire. There are some key differences between the Chula Vista facility and La Mesa's proposed site. Otay has a 250-megawatt warehouse system with lithium-ion batteries and all batteries housed together. La Mesa's would be a far smaller 3-megawatt containerized system with lithium iron phosphate, which is less prone to overheating and catching fire than the lithium-ion batteries at Otay. However, in addition to the fire in Chula Vista, there have been other documented blazes at battery storage facilities in Valley Center and Escondido. The storage site was approved by the city's planning commission in July 2023, 2 years after it was first proposed, and no appeals were received. In August 2023, the city's design review board postponed consideration and asked for aesthetic improvements to the developer's renderings, which showed a retaining wall and stone veneers. Heartland Fire is currently reviewing the developer's application to determine whether it is up to fire code standards. The applicant still must submit a hazard analysis and emergency response plan to be reviewed by a fire protection engineer, subject matter expert, hired by the city. Chief Koch says, "The department's primary concern is our community's health and safety, as well as first responder and firefighter health and safety." According to the InnerSmart Storage website, the plan calls for 21 containers on-site with a 6-foot wall along El Paso Street and another wall along the western property line that would act as a sound barrier where the site backs up to homes. InnerSmart claims this will keep noise levels below the maximum allowable decibel levels. The project will produce noise for short periods, mostly during the day when electricity demand is high, according to InnerSmart. The company says that the La Mesa project will feature 21 containers, each 30 feet long, 8 feet wide, and 9 feet high. The site will be fenced, screened, and have landscaping. InnerSmart says battery energy storage system facilities are a vital component to help California meet its goals of 90% clean energy by 2035 and 100% clean energy by 2045. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is John Tidwell.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
This is Miriam Raftery with a public service announcement from San Diego County's Animal Services. It's spring break time and shelter pets are ready to trade kennel life for beach vibes. You can help make their spring breakout dreams come true and give a shelter pet a forever home. If you come adopt your new best friend and join in the fun by dressing in your favorite beach attire, think Hawaiian shirts, board shorts, or a sunny straw hat, you'll receive a free beach party kit to get the celebration started. All month long, you can name your own price when adopting adult dogs and cats. Plus, the county is offering 25% off all adoption fees for puppies and kittens. Adoption fees are also waived for pets who've been in the shelter for 30 days or more, senior pets 8 years or more, seniors who are adopting pets age 60 and up, and every adoption includes spaying or neutering, a microchip, vaccinations, and for dogs, a 1-year license. You can visit animals at either shelter location in Bonita or Carlsbad between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Tuesday through Sunday. Just bring a valid photo ID. You can view pets available for adoption at sddac.com. Again, that's sddac.com. All pet adoptions are on a first-come, first-served basis. If you're not ready to adopt yet, you can become a foster pet parent, giving the shelter pet a temporary break and helping them adjust to home life. County Animal Services will even provide all the supplies you need as a foster parent, such as food, bedding, and a leash.
Allergy season is here, and more than 100 million Americans are suffering from itchiness, watery eyes, runny nose, congestion, sneezing, or wheezing. Experts say you should try to minimize contact with the pollens that trigger the reaction. Dr. Gregory Carnevale, Chief Medical Officer for United Healthcare Commercial, says the idea is to remove some of the pollen that sticks to surfaces around you.
You can stay inside, you can wear a mask if you have exposure, you can remove your clothing that has pollen exposure, remove heavy drapery in their bedrooms, wash linens regularly.
Running your air conditioning helps keep pollens outdoors. Air purifiers also help, and you might want to shower and change your clothes before going to sleep. If over-the-counter medications don't work, or the symptoms escalate to shortness of breath, people should consult a physician. Carnevale says the changing climate means seasonal allergies are getting worse.
We're certainly seeing precipitation patterns that are different, more days without frost, warmer seasonal air temperatures. So all that lengthens the growing season. So we're seeing allergies maybe a little bit more severe.
In Northern California, birch, elm, cedar, cypress, pine, and olive trees are the most common triggers. In the Southland, the biggest culprits are ash, oak, sycamore, walnut, and mulberry trees. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
The Santee City Council did some creative financing at its April 9th meeting to fund a planned community center. The project behind the Cameron YMCA has been planned for some 20 years. It could go out to bid by this summer and start construction by January after the council's action. After completing design and engineering studies recently, the price of the 12,500-square-foot, two-story facility was estimated to increase by $2.5 million to a total of $23.5 million. Cities are prohibited from awarding construction contracts without having all the funds lined up, said Finance Director Heather Jennings. So she proposed using a city interfund loan, moving the shortfall money from the general fund to the fund set up for this project. Part of the reason for the higher cost estimate is the decision to include much stronger electrical and computer server capacity inside the building so that it could act as an emergency backup operations center. Vice Mayor Rob McNellis says the costs for everything, but particularly construction, has escalated beyond control. And unfortunately, things aren't getting cheaper. He made a motion to approve the financing mechanism so the project could move ahead, which was seconded by Councilwoman Laura Koval and unanimously approved. The council also reviewed a report from its salary setting committee that proposed paying the mayor and council members 5% more for the next two fiscal years. Most said they wanted to wait on this decision until they reviewed the upcoming 2025-26 fiscal year budget and determine how much of a pay raise it was allocating to all city employees. But Councilmember Laura Koval said she agreed with the committee's recommendations on the increased pay that would also include a $100 a month increase in each member's gas allowance. The council deferred any action on council members' salaries until it receives responses from staff to questions. Reporting for East County Magazine from Santee, this is John Tidwell.
This is East County Magazine's Crime Beat. On the streets, reporting on crimes impacting communities across our region, helping to keep you safe and informed.
This is Miriam Raftery with a Crime Beat report. El Cajon Police homicide detectives are investigating a fatal shooting. Officers responded to a call reporting the shooting in the 1100 block of East Madison Avenue shortly before 10 p.m. on April 13th. According to Sergeant Stanley, officers arrived on the scene within minutes and located a man in a parking lot suffering from apparent gunshot wounds. Paramedics transported the victim to a hospital where he died. According to Sergeant Stanley, preliminary investigations indicate the victim was involved in an altercation with two male suspects, during which one of the suspects produced a firearm and shot the victim. Both suspects fled the scene before police arrived, and they remain at large. However, no description has been provided by police. The identity of the victim is being withheld pending notification of family. El Cajon Police urges anyone with information on this incident to contact the department at 619-579-3311. You can also submit an anonymous tip through San Diego County Crime Stoppers at their website, sdcrimestoppers.org.
Groups that support American farmers are raising the alarm about Chinese-owned Smithfield Farms, which controls a large part of pork production in the United States and is seeking to overturn a California law on animal cruelty. Smithfield has been lobbying for the EATS Act in the Farm Bill. That would invalidate Proposition 12, which banned the sale in California of pork raised using gestational crates. Marty Irby is head of Competitive Markets Action, a political action committee devoted to defeating the EATS Act.
Is a confinement that's extreme. Those animals are in duress. We believe that farmers should be able to raise a pig in an open pasture, or at the very least have enough room for the pig to stand up and turn around.
The EATS Act would wipe out more than 1,000 state agricultural laws. Supporters say a national policy approach would be less costly and more efficient. Many American companies have already spent millions converting their operations to comply with Proposition 12. Irby says lifting the measure would give Smithfield a big advantage.
They already own, I think, about a third to 40% of all of the pork production in the U.S. So if they have the opportunity to go in and shut more farmers out of business, which is what they're trying to do with the EATS Act specifically, then they'll have a larger market share.
Pork production in the U.S. is dominated by four huge companies: American firms Cargill and Tyson, plus JBS, which is Brazilian, and Smithfield. Irby says that kind of concentration leads to price fixing and is bad for national security.
Could even be another COVID-19. Where do you think China's going to send their pork? They're going to send it back to China.
Other agricultural economists downplay that risk, saying the feds could block pork exports in an emergency. This story was produced with original reporting by Seth Milstein for Sentient. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Supervisor Joel Anderson wants the county to provide more notice of agenda changes. Currently, the Board of Supervisors posts agendas 6 days before meetings, which is actually earlier than state law requires, but changes or updates may be posted up to 2 days before the meeting. Anderson says that some communities in his rural district, such as Jacumba, Ramona, Borrego Springs, and Julian, require extensive travel time to reach the County Administration Center in downtown San Diego. It can take up to 100 minutes each way, depending on traffic, he notes, traveling more than 140 miles. Adding that public transportation in these communities can be non-existent or extremely difficult, often requiring multiple transfers, long travel times, and later departures. While there are remote alternatives, such as calling in to board meetings or submitting e-comments, these are not always feasible for unincorporated residents, Anderson states in an email to his constituents. He also notes that during the first few months this year, as well as last year, unincorporated communities have experienced many public safety power shutoffs, sometimes leaving them without electricity for several days, which effectively eliminates the option to watch or participate remotely. So on April 22nd, Supervisor Anderson will be presenting a letter to the board asking that agenda review times be extended to increase public engagement and transparency. He's also posted a petition on his site that he's asking supporters to sign. The current schedule severely limits public input and participation, Anderson concludes. I believe that my constituents need sufficient time to review board decisions that directly impact their communities. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
You're listening to the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for San Diego's inland region. Now, stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
Congressman Daryl Issa, a Republican representing the 48th Congressional District, which includes most of East County, has filed a lawsuit against California Secretary of State Shirley Weber. The suit, Issa versus Weber, seeks to halt California's decade-long practice of allowing mail-in ballots to be counted up to a week after an election, provided they were postmarked by Election Day. Ballots at risk of not being counted include many cast by military members deployed overseas, as well as seniors and others who rely on mail-in ballots. Motions to intervene in the suit have been filed by organizations representing veterans, women, voters, and by ISIS's political opponent. ISIS claims counting ballots after Election Day provides an unfair electoral advantage for opponents of Republican congressional incumbents. Congressman Issa, who says he plans to run for re-election in 2026, also claims he faces a material risk that he may lose future elections due to these unlawful ballots, even though he has won several elections previously under the current California law. Issa's suit was filed on his behalf by Judicial Watch, a conservative organization. The League of Women Voters, in its motion to intervene, says that Issa, based on a meritless theory, is asking the court to override state law and put in place a rule that could wrongfully disenfranchise hundreds of thousands of California voters. Vet Voice's intervener petition states, Vet Voice is extremely concerned that Congressman Issa's challenge, if successful, will make it harder for its supporters and constituents, active duty service members, veterans, and their families, to successfully cast a mail-in ballot in California. The California Alliance for Retired Americans claims, similarly, that if ISIS suit is successful, its members will face a heightened risk of having their mail ballots rejected. Curtis Morrison, a Democrat running against ISA, was the first to file a motion to intervene as a party with a stake in the case. Morrison, an attorney, contends that as a candidate he could be harmed if all votes are not counted. ISA filed an opposition to Morrison's motion. Morrison calls it comical that ISA thinks he can use the courts to determine whose votes are counted, but also that his political opponent should not be allowed to be a party in that suit. He's not about a fair process, Morrison says. All that matters to him is winning so he can maintain his role as a Trump cheerleader. All four motions to intervene will be heard on May 16th at 2 p.m. in federal court in San Diego before Judge Edward J. Schwartz. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
A free press is the foundation of our democracy. KNSJ Radio is dedicated to providing nonprofit news in the public interest, not special interests. We rely on your support to continue bringing you important stories from San Diego and East County that you won't hear anywhere else. Please make a generous donation at knsj.org to sustain KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
Welcome to 2025 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Look, I'm a big advocate of the Second Amendment, and these things are terrible. But the gun doesn't do the shooting, the people do.
President Donald Trump says the shooting at Florida State University that left two dead and six others injured doesn't show a need for tougher gun laws. Law enforcement said the 20-year-old suspect is the son of a sheriff's deputy and used his mom's service weapon in the shooting. On Thursday, the Supreme Court extended a hold on Trump's attempt to end birthright citizenship, but also agreed to hear oral arguments next month. Proponents argue there should be stricter standards for becoming a citizen. Legal scholars cite the clear language of the 14th Amendment, which has been unquestioned law for more than a century. Speaking to a group of nonprofit leaders in her home state of Alaska, Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski says Washington is in chaos, with unpredictable tariffs and scores of executive orders coming from the White House. She says many in the party are frightened of Trump's wrath.
We are all afraid. I'm oftentimes very anxious myself about using my voice because retaliation is real.
Murkowski calls on her Republican colleagues to stand up to the president and his advisor, Elon Musk. Democratic Maryland Senator Chris Van Hollen says he was denied entry to the El Salvador prison, holding the man mistakenly deported by the administration. The Supreme Court has ordered the White House to facilitate Gilmar Abrego Garcia's return, but Trump and El Salvador's presidents say they have no intentions of bringing him home. The Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act faces long odds in the Senate. The SAVE Act would require voters to show documents like a passport or birth certificate to register or cast a ballot. But Liz Avore with the Voting Rights Lab says Trump is trying to make it similarly hard to vote through an executive order.
The goal of the executive order was and is to send clear marching orders to the states and also to Congress to tell them exactly what the President Trump wants them to be doing. And the states are listening.
Trump administration layoffs of 10,000 health and human services workers include the staff that oversees the low-income energy assistance program. Mark Wolf with the National Energy Assistance Directors Association says that could stop poor people from getting the heating help they need when the weather turns cold.
Many states have told us that they've either run out of money or they're very close to it, and that they need this additional funds to help families pay off the remaining winter heating bill, or get ready for summer cooling programs, or both.
I'm Alex Gonzalez for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Welcome to East County Magazine's Destination East County, bringing you all of the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County each week. This is Miriam Raftery with this week's Destination East County. The merry month of May brings many special events, including a trio of happenings at Cuyamaca College, including the Coyote Music Festival, Spring Garden and Butterfly Festival, and a museum arts and crafts fair. Food, wine, and beer lovers can savor vintage Alpine, a taste of Ramona, as well as the Santee Street Fair and Craft Beer Festival. El Cajon's Music on Main outdoor concert series returns, along with the America on Main Street Festival. There are also Mother's Day teas in Julian, tacos and beer in Ramona with a Mother of the Year contest, a Mountain Man rendezvous in Campo, Paused in the Park in Lemon Grove for animal lovers, and a mariachi concert at Saquon. And here are details on these events. You're invited to join mountain men, fur trappers, and pioneer families from the Laguna Mountain Rendezvous to rewind back to the 1820s. The organization's Spring Rendezvous Camp will be held May 2nd through 10th at Northcote Ranch in Campo. Participants can learn primitive skills and be immersed in living history. For those wishing to go beyond a day visit, you can camp out in a teepee encampment or in the Tin Teepee, modern camp for tents and RVs. You can find their flyer on the Laguna Mountain Rendezvous Facebook page. The Spring Garden and Butterfly Festival will take wing at the Water Conservation Garden at Cuyamaca College on May 3rd from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. This event features live butterfly releases, plant sales, vendors, live music, and family-friendly activities. For details, visit thegarden.org. Talented students from Cuyamaca College will take stage at the Coyote Music Festival on May 3rd in the amphitheater of the Water Conservation Garden. Bands will perform starting at 9 a.m., with the last group taking stage at 2 p.m. For a list of musical groups performing at the Coyote Music Festival, which is held concurrently with the Spring Garden and Butterfly Festival, visit thegarden.org. Heritage of the Americas Museum at Cuyamaca College will host an arts and crafts fair also on May 3rd from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. as part of the college's Spring Festival. Activities at the museum include arts and crafts vendors, face painting, visits with llamas from Ramona's Robin's Nest Rescue, and showings of classic Tom and Jerry cartoons for the kids. You're invited to the 35th Annual Vintage Alpine on May 4th at the beautiful Summers Past Farm in Flint Springs. The event features tastes of over 40 wines as well as beers, samples from fine local restaurants, and live music, all for a good cause. Proceeds benefit the Kiwanis Club of Alpine Foundation, a nonprofit which supports many local youth and community needs. For more information or to get tickets, visit vintagealpine.org. The Music on Main outdoor concert series is held each Thursday night from 6 to 8 p.m. at Prescott Promenade in downtown El Cajon. You can get a lineup of the bands playing in May and all summer long at downtownelcajon.com. Julian Tea and Cottage Arts will serve special Mother's Day tea services May 8th through 12th, complete with sandwiches and savories, scones and tea breads with lemon curd, jam, and whipped cream plus dessert. Vegetarian or gluten-free options are available with advance request. There are several seating times each day. For reservations, visit juliantea.com. Just days after Cinco de Mayo, you can celebrate Mexican culture at a Mariachi del Sol Mexico concert at Saquon. The renowned group will perform on Saturday, May 10th at 8 p.m. in Saquon's Heritage Events Center. For tickets and more details, you can visit saquon.com. The Ramona Chamber of Commerce presents tacos and beer at the Ramona Outdoor Center on May 10th from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. Multiple Latino bands will perform. You're invited to come celebrate Mom, including a Mother of the Year contest, a dance contest, food and craft vendors, opportunity drawings, and a kids' zone. For more information, you can visit ramonachamber.com. America on Main Street is also known as El Cajon's largest block party. This event will be hosted in downtown El Cajon on Saturday, May 17th from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. America on Main Street is a celebration of the American spirit through appreciation and respect of the many diverse ethnic and historical groups in the community. Highlights include multiple stages of live entertainment, American and ethnic food booths, rides, arts, crafts, and display booths, a petting zoo, bounce houses, and more. The event is held every year in downtown El Cajon on East Main and Rhea Avenue between Magnolia and Claydell. For more information, you can visit the city's webpage at elcajon.gov. A Taste of Ramona event will be held May 17th from 11 to 5 p.m. The event, hosted by the Ramona Chamber of Commerce, will feature tastes of local foods, wines, beers, and cider. Proceeds benefit education grants and school programs in Ramona. For tickets, visit ramonachamber.com. The Santee Street Fair and Craft Beer Festival returns May 24th. This annual event features a beer garden featuring craft brews, wine, and spirits, kids' zones with carnival rides and games, live music and entertainment, plus more than 200 vendors showcasing local artisans and businesses. The event takes place from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the intersection of Town Center Parkway and Riverview Parkway in Santee. Hosted by Santee Chamber of Commerce and the City of Santee, the event is for ages 21 and up, and it's dog-friendly. For more information, visit SanteeStreetFair.com. And finally, the City of Lemon Grove invites you to pause in the park on May 31st from 9 a.m. to 12 noon at Traganza Heritage Park. You can meet the famous City Kitty, adopt a pet, and, for Lemon Grove residents, get your pet vaccinated and microchipped. That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, networking for social justice.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, from the mountains to the sea.
You are listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the desert to the sea.
Welcome to East County Magazine's Destination East County, bringing you all of the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County each week. This is Miriam Raftery with this week's Destination East County. The merry month of May brings many special events, including a trio of happenings at Cuyamaca College, including the Coyote Music Festival, Spring Garden and Butterfly Festival, and a museum arts and crafts fair. Food, wine, and beer lovers can savor vintage Alpine, a taste of Ramona, as well as the Santee Street Fair and Craft Beer Festival. El Cajon's Music on Main outdoor concert series returns, along with the America on Main Street Festival. There are also Mother's Day teas in Julian, tacos and beer in Ramona with a Mother of the Year contest, a Mountain Man Rendezvous in Campo, Paws in the Park in Lemon Grove for animal lovers, and a mariachi concert at Saquon. And here are details on these events. You're invited to join mountain men, fur trappers, and pioneer families from the Laguna Mountain Rendezvous to rewind back to the 1820s. The organization's Spring Rendezvous Camp will be held May 2nd through 10th at Northcote Ranch in Campo. Participants can learn primitive skills and be immersed in living history. For those wishing to go beyond a day visit, you can camp out in a teepee encampment or in the Tin Teepee, modern camp for tents and RVs. You can find their flyer on the Laguna Mountain Rendezvous Facebook page. The Spring Garden and Butterfly Festival will take wing at the Water Conservation Garden at Cuyamaca College on May 3rd from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. This event features live butterfly releases, plant sales, vendors, live music, and family-friendly activities. For details, visit thegarden.org. Talented students from Cuyamaca College will take stage at the Coyote Music Festival on May 3rd in the amphitheater of the Water Conservation Garden. Bands will perform starting at 9 a.m., with the last group taking stage at 2 p.m. For a list of musical groups performing at the Coyote Music Festival, which is held concurrently with the Spring Garden and Butterfly Festival, visit thegarden.org. Heritage of the Americas Museum at Cuyamaca College will host an arts and crafts fair also on May 3rd from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. as part of the college's Spring Festival. Activities at the museum include arts and crafts vendors, face painting, visits with llamas from Ramona's Robin's Nest Rescue, and showings of classic Tom and Jerry cartoons for the kids. You're invited to the 35th Annual Vintage Alpine on May 4th at the beautiful Summers Past Farm in Flynn Springs. The event features tastes of over 40 wines as well as beers, samples from fine local restaurants, and live music, all for a good cause. Proceeds benefit the Kiwanis Club of Alpine Foundation, a nonprofit which supports many local youth and community needs. For more information or to get tickets, visit vintagealpine.org. The Music on Main outdoor concert series is held each Thursday night from 6 to 8 p.m. at Prescott Promenade in downtown El Cajon. You can get a lineup of the bands playing in May and all summer long at downtownelcajon.com. Julian Tea and Cottage Arts will serve special Mother's Day tea services May 8th through 12th, complete with sandwiches and savories, scones and tea breads with lemon curd, jam, and whipped cream plus dessert. Vegetarian or gluten-free options are available with advance request. There are several seating times each day. For reservations, visit juliantea.com. Just days after Cinco de Mayo, you can celebrate Mexican culture at a Mariachi del Sol Mexico concert at Saquon. The renowned group will perform on Saturday, May 10th at 8 p.m. in Saquon's Heritage Events Center. For tickets and more details, you can visit saquon.com. The Ramona Chamber of Commerce presents tacos and beer at the Ramona Outdoor Center on May 10th from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. Multiple Latino bands will perform. You're invited to come celebrate Mom, including a Mother of the Year contest, a dance contest, food and craft vendors, opportunity drawings, and a kids' zone. For more information, you can visit RamonaChamber.com. America on Main Street is also known as El Cajon's largest block party. This event will be hosted in downtown El Cajon on Saturday, May 17th from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. America on Main Street is a celebration of the American spirit through appreciation and respect of the many diverse ethnic and historical groups in the community. Highlights include multiple stages of live entertainment, American and ethnic food booths, rides, arts, crafts, and display booths, a petting zoo, bounce houses, and more. The event is held every year in downtown El Cajon on East Main and Rhea Avenue between Magnolia and Claydell. For more information, you can visit the city's webpage at elcajon.gov. A Taste of Ramona event will be held May 17th from 11 to 5 p.m. The event, hosted by the Ramona Chamber of Commerce, will feature tastes of local foods, wines, beers, and cider. Proceeds benefit education grants and school programs in Ramona. For tickets, visit RamonaChamber.com. The Santee Street Fair and Craft Beer Festival returns May 24th. This annual event features a beer garden featuring craft brews, wine, and spirits, kids zones with carnival rides and games, live music and entertainment, plus more than 200 vendors showcasing local artisans and businesses. The event takes place from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the intersection of Town Center Parkway and Riverview Parkway in Santee. Hosted by Santee Chamber of Commerce and the City of Santee, the event is for ages 21 and up, and it's dog-friendly. For more information, visit SanteeStreetFair.com. And finally, the City of Lemon Grove invites you to Paws in the Park on May 31st from 9 a.m. to 12 noon at Traganza Heritage Park. You can meet the famous City Kitty, adopt a pet, and, for Lemon Grove residents, get your pet vaccinated and microchipped. That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
This is Connie Beck with Ready, Set, Grow. I'm going to help you create healthy and beautiful gardens using less money, less hard work, and much more fun. I'd like to talk today about some plants you can plant to bring in hummingbirds. Everybody loves them. Nobody wants to fill those feeders. They get ants in them. They get bees in them. They get mold in them. And someday I'll convince my husband to quit putting sugar water in them and feeding them, because there's enough in my yard to keep every hummingbird in East County quite happy for quite a while. So what do you want to put in your yard that will bring in the hummingbirds? My favorite plant is a cultivar of a native plant. It is called Galvezia firecracker. If you go to most nurseries nowadays, this plant has become so popular that you can get it. Just ask for firecracker, which is different than Russellia. It's a Galvezia, G-A-L-V-E-Z-I-A. This is a plant that gets to be about 4 feet tall, 4 feet wide, and it has red tubular flowers. And that's the key, isn't it? Red tubular flowers. That's what brings in the hummingbirds. They love it. Can't stay away from them. This is a much more manageable and nice plant than the Cape honeysuckle with the big orange flowers and the plant that gets to be 15 feet tall and 20 feet wide and goes everywhere and is a big floppy mess. Try a firecracker and see what you think. You can grow it in the sun, in the shade, in part sun, in part shade, with a lot of water or with just a little bit of water, and it will be fine. I have a neighbor who grows it under pepper trees, and the gardeners come every week and prune them into little round balls, and they never really get to bloom, and those trees have suffered through that for the last few years without a single one of them dying. Now that's what I would call an obliging plant. Another good plant that will bring in lots and lots of wildlife to your garden, and hummingbirds especially, is called California fuchsia. It's called Epilobium. Some of you may have known it in the past as Zauschneria. What a great name. So there's a good password for you, Zauschneria. Who's going to use a word like that for their password? Zauschnerias, or Epilobiums, California fuchsia, are a gray plant, and they have a bright orange-red tubular flower. Once again, great for hummingbirds, really keeps them happy. This is a plant that will actually spread slightly on its own and will get by even if something bad happens to the irrigation and nobody irrigates it for 6 weeks or 6 months. It won't die. It'll be fine. Anytime you go to a nursery, look around and look for the plants that have the red tubular flowers. That's the key to hummingbirds. Now, My friend Maureen Austin, who puts on the Sage and Songbirds Festival every year, says there's two kinds of wildlife attracting plants out there. There's ice cream cones, which we're talking about now. These are the tubular shaped flowers that the hummingbirds like. Or there's pizzas, and pizzas are the flat flowers, the daisy type flowers that you see butterflies landing on. If you think about butterfly bush, Buddleia, which brings in all sorts of cute little butterflies, it also is fragrant. It's known as summer lilac here, or butterfly bush. Then if you take a close look at those purple spikes that grow on that, that bring in the butterflies, you'll see a whole bunch of little bitty flowers. And that's what the butterflies are landing on. That's what they like. So that's a great one. Probably the best butterfly plant that you can come up with, though, is always going to be the butterfly weed, milkweed, Asclepias curassavica. It has orange and red flowers on it, and it just grows like a weed in your garden. Not invasive, just reseeds very effectively. You will know that you have succeeded when you see interesting looking green caterpillars all over the plant, eating every leaf. In my garden, I pick them off and I move them to another milkweed after they eat all the leaves off one. I don't try to fight them because they're going to turn into monarch butterflies. So my garden is full of monarch butterflies, which I consider to be flying flowers. So keep in mind, butterfly milkweed is a great plant to add to your garden repertoire.
A free press is the foundation of our democracy. KNSJ Radio is dedicated to providing nonprofit news in the public interest, not special interests. We rely on your support to continue bringing you important stories from San Diego and East County that you won't hear anywhere else. Please make a generous donation at knsj.org to sustain KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
This is Miriam Raftery with a public service announcement from CalKids. College acceptance and financial aid letters are arriving soon, and high school seniors and college students have a major opportunity to ease their higher education costs through the CalKids program. CalKids is the nation's largest child development account program providing scholarships for higher education. This statewide initiative, administered by the ScholarShare Investment Board, provides eligible California public school students with CalKids scholarships worth up to $1,500, helping them take the next step toward college or career training by easing financial barriers. In San Diego County, more than $148 million in CalKids scholarship has been made available to public school students over the last 3 years alone, providing critical financial support for their higher education. A CalKids scholarship does not require students to submit essays, meet a minimum GPA, or provide recommendation letters. Claiming a scholarship is simple and takes just minutes at calkids.org. State Treasurer Fiona Ma, Chair of the ScholarShare Investment Board, says CalKids is an incredible resource for San Diego County families. She adds that claiming a scholarship is the easiest step students can take on their path to higher education, and we want every eligible student to claim their CalKids scholarship account and take full advantage of this opportunity. Eligible students can use their CalKids scholarship account for tuition and fees, books and supplies, and computer equipment. Since 2022, about $1 billion in CalKids scholarships has been made available to more than 2 million of California's public high school students. Claiming a CalKids scholarship is quick and easy. Families just need the student's statewide student identifier, or SSID. That's a 10-digit number that you can obtain by contacting the school directly. Once you have the SSID number, parents or students can visit calkids.org to check eligibility and claim a scholarship account in just minutes. The funds can be used at accredited colleges, universities, trade schools, and career programs across the country. Once enrolled in a higher education program, students can log into their CalKids account to request a distribution directly to their school to cover qualifying educational expenses. Cassandra DiBenedetto, executive director, says studies show that students with just $500 or less set aside for college are 3 times more likely to attend college and 4 times more likely to graduate. She sees this as an investment in your student's future. With roughly 1 out of every 2 San Diego County public school students eligible for a CalKids scholarship and key college decisions and financial aid deadlines fast approaching, now is the time for students and families to check their eligibility and claim their scholarship account. For more information on eligibility, scholarship amounts, and how to claim a CalKids scholarship account, you can visit calkids.org.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is Miriam Raftery with a Green Scene Report. San Diego Superior Court Judge Joel Wolfi has struck down San Diego County's Transportation Study Guide. The decision, in a lawsuit filed by Cleveland National Forest Foundation and the Coastal Environmental Rights Foundation, is a win for environmentalists seeking to reduce emissions from vehicles to reduce impacts on climate change. But it's a setback for opponents of a controversial vehicle miles traveled or VMT proposal that the county previously scrapped after objections from the building industry and an East County supervisor. Duncan McVetridge, a Descanso resident and director of Cleveland National Forest, calls the ruling a major victory. He adds, it's time for the county to stop taking shortcuts and instead implement its low VMT climate policy. We're running out of precious time to start solving our transportation housing problems in San Diego. The county's continued delays hurt San Diegans and the environment, McVetridge concludes. Sarah Ochoa, the program director at Coastal Environmental Rights Foundation, says in a press release, we know we can't meet our climate goals without significant reductions in automobile travel, adding, we should build housing and transit where it makes sense, instead of dooming future generations to wildfire risks and soul-crushing commutes. Senate Bill 743, a state law passed in 2022, requires local agencies to assure that development projects are designed to minimize environmental harm and reduce vehicle miles traveled by limiting sprawl development in rural areas, thereby reducing greenhouse gas emissions from vehicles. The county has said that VMT mandates could cost home builders $60,000 to $200,000 per unit. The county's transportation plan sought to provide exemptions to SB 743's VMT requirements for infill and village areas, where transit exists or is expected to be added soon. It also sought to exempt small projects that the county contended would have minimal environmental impacts. But Judge Wolfi wrote, none of the evidence relied on by the county to support its assumptions concerning its infill threshold comes from independent outside sources or reflects anything other than unsubstantiated opinions. Similarly, regarding small projects, the judge concluded, there was no effort by the county to develop any evidence that small projects generating 110 or fewer trips are likely to cause a less than significant transportation effort in San Diego County. Now, back in 2011, the county adopted a general plan that encouraged growth in village cores in places like Lakeside, Spring Valley, and Ramona, areas with village centers, services, jobs, and a need for housing. A Voice of San Diego article in 2024 noted that by encouraging small lot development, the general plan helped make homes more affordable in places like East County, which are typically easier for first-time homeowners to enter the market in. But after SB 743, the county shelved its general plan and implemented strict VMT guidelines, so strict that the Building Industry Association declared the county dead to us as some home builders pulled out of the area, according to Lori Holt-Feiler, CEO of the Building Industry Association. In an editorial published in Voice of San Diego, she wrote that strict VMTs backfired, leading some home buyers to purchase homes in Temecula and commute to jobs in San Diego, actually causing more vehicle emissions. Supervisor Joel Anderson pushed County Council to review case law, leading the county to reverse course and create a transportation plan that allowed projects to be built if they are consistent with the general plan, exempting them from requirements to mitigate for vehicle miles traveled. The lawsuit filed by the environmental groups successfully argued that the county's transportation plan violated requirements of the California Environmental Quality Act, or CEQA, as well as SB 743. Now, the county may opt to revise its transportation guidelines to comply with the court ruling or file an appeal.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Royalty Free Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine Radio Show or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show.